Shlavei Sulam, Volume 3, Dvarim, page 205. When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The interpreter asked about the verse, when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall inherit it, and shall dwell therein. And they asked, why does it say precisely that the Lord thy God giveth thee? The people of Israel conquered it by war. And he answered, that man should know in his heart that not through the power, through his power and the might of his hand, does he come to inherit the land, but it is the gift of God. And they said that the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and not my power and the might of my hand. And to understand the above in the work, we have to know that land is desire, meaning the desire in man's heart, which is called land, Eretz. And that land is called the heart of man, which is called the heart of man. There are the nations of the world, and also the people of Israel. But we have to know that both of them together cannot live there. The people of Israel and the nations of the world cannot rule together. Either the nations of the world rule, or Israel. And we have to know what indeed is the reason that they cannot both be together in the same place. The thing is that we know that the creation of the world was because he wanted to delight his creatures. And for that reason he created the will to receive delight and pleasure. Meaning that he created in the creatures a desire to want to always lust pleasures. Meaning that we see that according to the extent of his desire, to that extent the creature feels the pleasure. And that is the kli that was created by the Creator. And that is the first phase that we discern in the creatures. And if the creatures don't have that desire, they're not regarded as creatures yet. It turns out that we cannot speak of any aspect if there's no, of any phase, if there's no desire to receive. And this is the whole of creation that we speak of, which is the vessel to receive the pleasure. But because of the shame, which our sages call the bread of shame, there was a restriction, meaning that he'll not receive in order to receive, unless he can aim in order to bestow. And that is called equivalence of form, meaning if he can receive the pleasures with the intent to bestow contentment to the Creator, then he receives, otherwise he doesn't want to receive. And that is called Israel, meaning straight to God. But meaning everything that he thinks is that it'll all come to God. And he doesn't count, because he doesn't think of himself in any way, but all his thoughts are for God. And that is called the land of Israel, meaning that he has a desire straight to God, meaning that he doesn't have desires of self-love, but of love of others. And but himself, meaning that he'll enjoy life, he doesn't want it. And all his desires is that he'll have the means to bestow to the Creator. And that is called the land of Israel, meaning that he has a desire straight to God, meaning that he doesn't have desires of self-love, but of love of others. And but himself, meaning that he'll enjoy life, he doesn't want it. And all his desires is that he'll have the means to bestow to the Creator. But everything that he nourishes his body with is only in order to have strength to work in order to bestow. And that is like a man who has a horse, and he gives that horse to eat food and drink, meaning all the food that he gives to the horse is not because he loves the horse, but because he needs to work with it. Therefore, everything he thinks of giving to the horse is not because of love, but simply because he wants to exploit the horse for his own good. And he doesn't think anything of the horse's good. And that is called the land of Israel, meaning that all his thoughts are but land, desire to all be straight to God. Whereas the nations, the land of the nations is a land of self-love, desire of self-love, which is called the nations of the land, meaning that all their desires will be only for the nation, which doesn't want for the Lord, but for the nation. Meaning that desire of the creatures, which are called nations, whereas the Creator, which created the people, the nation, it is, as we say, and all the people of the earth shall see that the name of the Lord is called upon thee, and they shall be afraid of thee. And it also said, and Abraham rose up and bowed down to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth, meaning that they don't know and don't feel anything but the people, which is self-love, that only that is called creatures. Whereas the people of Israel, they want to cancel their own self, which is the will to receive that was created, existence from absence. Therefore we say that He chose us from every nation. And those two authorities cannot be together. Either the will to bestow is an authority or the will to receive. And both of them together cannot exist because each contradicts the other. And no two opposites can be in one objective. From here comes the war of the desire, meaning that man should fight himself in order to subdue the heart, where there is a dressing of these desires, and expel the authority of the will to receive, and give the authority to the will to bestow to the Lord. And when man begins to work the holy work, which is to aim all his work for the Lord, then begin the wars between those two desires. And man, through much labor, attains to overcome, and he wins the war. And then he goes in, and then in his heart, there is the desire of the will to bestow. There is the authority of the will to bestow to the Lord. And then man can say, my power and the might of my hand brought me this, has gotten me this wealth. And only through his work did he inherit the heart, which is now called the land of Israel, because what he wants is directly to God. Therefore the verse comes and tells us, when thou art come to the land, unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Meaning not that you conquered it by yourself, but that the Lord thy God gave you that. Meaning that after a man gave the needed effort in order to conquer the heart, that by the wars he kept doing with the peoples of the world, and he defeated them, he inherited the heart, which is now called the land of Israel, and not the land of the nations. But still he has to believe that he did not conquer the land, but the Lord thy God giveth thee, and not my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. Now we can understand what they asked, that the Creator promised Abraham, as it says, and he said unto him, I am the Lord thy God that brought thee out of Rukazdim to give thee this land to inherit it. So why did he first give the land to the peoples of the world, nations of the world, and afterwards Israel came and had to fight, drive them out of the land, and all the world would complain about it? Why did you conquer a land that was never yours? And only by conquest that you conquer by war, you say that it is your land. And everyone understand that surely it would have been better that he wouldn't give this land to the nations of the world. That then there would be many other places for the nations of the world to settle in. Because afterwards there were many new states, and the Lord could make them not settle in this place. But that's not how it was. First, the seven nations and the other kings sat here. And the people of Israel had to fight them and expel them. And all the nations of the world yelled at Israel that we are robbers, that you are robbers, that you conquer the land of the seven nations. So why do I need all this bother for? As Rashi explains, why did he start with Bereshit in the beginning? Because the strength of his deeds told his people to give them the land of the Gentiles. That if they say nations of the world to Gentiles, if the nations of the world should say, tell Israel that you are robbers, that you conquer the land of the seven nations, they tell them the whole of the land is the Creator's. He created it and he gave it to whom he pleases. When he wants to, he give it to them, and when he wants to, he take it away from them. Therefore, it is difficult. What do I need all this conduct for? Meaning that first, before he gave it to us, he gave it first to the nations of the world, and only after they were settled in, then he told us, go and drive them out of this land, because I promised it to Abraham. and by root and branch we can interpret this thing. Since we know that land is called Malchut, which is the root of the creatures, called receiving in order to receive. And this is the root, meaning the first receiver, called the world of Ensof, infinity. And then there were corrections, meaning not to receive for self-reception, but because the lower one wants to bestow upon the Creator, meaning that he wants the will to receive, that the will to receive for himself will be cancelled, meaning that he'll not use it, and all his work will be only to bestow contentment to the Creator. And according to the above, we see that in the order of the conduct of creation of this world, of the corporate world, we also have to have, as it was in the spiritual world, meaning that first the land was given to the nations of the world, and then by war they were driven out of this land, and the people of Israel conquered it and inherited the place of the nations of the world. Because the nations of the world, their root is the middle point over which there was a restriction, meaning since the first aspect in the war had to be receiving in order to receive, because otherwise you can't say that he restricts himself not to receive, because the matter of overcoming can only be spoken of when there is a desire to receive, and he overcomes his desire and wants equivalence to form. Therefore the nations of the world should have first received that land as the root that the will to receive came out first, which is the heart of creation, and then you could say that you have to make corrections there. Therefore, after the nations of the world took this land, then came the people of Israel and corrected the land, that all will be for the Lord, and that is called the land of Israel. As it is said, a land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And we have to understand in what it says that the land of Israel is called a land which the eyes of the Lord thy God are upon it from the beginning of the year and even unto the end of the year. The meaning is that the providence of the Lord is in it, meaning precisely in the land of Israel. After all, we say that the providence of the Lord is everywhere. So how can we say that only in the land of Israel is His providence? We have to interpret that the meaning is, what is the land of Israel? Meaning that land has already come out of the authority of the nations of the world and already entered the authority of Israel. That is what the verse wants to tell us. It gives us a sign to know whether they're in the land of Israel or are they still in the land of the nations. And the sign is, as it is said, land that the Lord thy God careth for always. And the verse tells us what is the land of Israel. Then it says that we have to know that the Lord thy God careth for it always. And what is his caring about? The verse says on, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year on to the end of the year. That the matter of providence is called the eyes of the Lord. Therefore, if a person sees his providence from the beginning of time, what's called the beginning of the year, to the end of the year, meaning that without stop, constantly sees the providence of the Lord, that is called the end of the land of Israel. Whereas the land of the nations is called that only the God knows that He watches over the whole world, but the nations of the world cannot see it. Therefore, He gave us a sign in order to know if we're in the land of Israel, or that the land we sit in is still the land of the nations of the world. It turns out, by all the above, that first we have to have the nations of the world enter this land, which implies the will to receive, that it is first born in this place, and then they wage war with the will to receive and subdue it through the authority of holiness, meaning everything he does will be by what the Creator demands. And by that, the interpreters explained that about the words when thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that it, the meaning is that a person should not say that after all the wars with a desire that he always had to overcome it every day, that he shouldn't think that this is by his own power that he attained it, but the Creator let him win that war, meaning has given thee. And in the has given thee, there are two aspects. The first is a mitzvah, which is faith, which is the tefillin of the hand. And in the tefillin of the hand, our sages say that it should be an omen to you and not to others. That because of that, the tefillin of the hand should be covered, which means that faith is called walk humbly with the Lord thy God, which is an aspect of above reason. B is Torah, which is the tefillin of the head. And the tefillin of the head, our sages said about that, and all the people of the earth shall see that the name of the Lord is called upon thee, and they shall be afraid of thee. Those are the tefillin of the head, meaning that there it says, and all the people of the land shall see. That tefillin of the head should be revealed to all, which is Torah. That Torah is called precisely when it is revealed, whereas the tefillin of the hand should be covered, meaning above reason. So there are no words to tell the other person, because everything that one can say to the other is only by the reason. Therefore, in something that is above reason, there are no words. Therefore, they said, an omen to you and not to others. Thus it turns out that by this giving that the Creator gave to the people of Israel this land is in order to take food out of it, bring fruit from it. As we explained above, that we speak in the work, land is the heart. And the Creator gave two aspects in the land. A, faith. B, Torah. That by both man comes to perfection. And although both come by my hand, still we have to know that they both come from the Creator. And a person should not say, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Thus we can understand what the interpreters said. Why does it say, and you answered and said aloud? Whereas elsewhere it says, and you said, and it doesn't say, and you answered. Because a tenth is called mitzvah, which is the kingdom of heaven. And here there is the conduct of walking humbly, which is the tefillin of the hand. And the sages said, for you, for an omen, and not for others. Therefore, a tenth, which is against a mitzvah, then it is said, and you said alone, in a low voice, which is not heard outside, because it is walk humbly. But the tefillin of the head is Torah, as it is said, and all the nations of the land shall see that the name of the Lord is called upon thee, and they shall be afraid of thee. Therefore it is written, and you answered and said, meaning that it has to be out loud, which is Torah, which must be revealed for all, meaning that the matter of bestowing upon its creatures should be revealed to all the world, to the whole world. Rav's words. A land is desired. When a man prepares himself, he comes to a situation when he begins to work with his desire. At first, when he first discovers the desire to work with a desire, he begins to feel bad about himself. Lack of energy, recognition of evil, doesn't understand why he feels bad. Only afterwards does he begin to understand that that sensation of evil comes as a result of him seeing himself against the attributes of the Creator. That he sees himself that he's worse than before, weaker, lazier, crueler. That's the beginning of working with the Lord to receive during their time of preparation. Afterwards he works differently. When he works with the will to receive itself, that he begins to be in that will to receive. In it, he receives first feelings, satisfactions, corporal and spiritual. He begins the work of examination, scrutiny, the selection of which type of satisfaction does he prefer. He begins to determine a ladder of values, scale of values. And he discovers in the desire physical or spiritual satisfactions, but in order to receive, he must begin at that point to work on the greatness of the Creator. Not just the greatness of the Creator, which means that spirituality is better than physicality. You have to attain that, but he should actually begin to work with the intent, not that it's good for me to acquire it, but that there is the Creator's greatness here, that I should work with it. These things come slowly. It's not up to man to do them. As he writes, when thou art come to the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. As he writes, when thou art come to the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. These things are shown from above, as much as a person can tolerate them, has a desire for them, endurance for them, things he prepared in advance. These things are shown from above, as much as a person can tolerate them, has a desire for them, endurance for them, things he prepared in advance. From above, they show him his desires so that he can work with them. And then begins the work with the greatness of the Creator, has a desire for them, endurance for them, things he prepared in advance. These things are shown from above, as much as a person can tolerate them, has a desire for them, endurance for them, things he prepared in advance. From above, they show him his desires so that he can work with them. And then begins the work with the greatness of the Creator, which is something he cannot acquire by himself, but he can only receive that from society. That society can give him in all sorts of means. I was impressed with friends who do things that cannot be justified in our world. Still they do it. And then he begins to understand that it's an important thing. He begins to take from them by using the envy, especially envy. He begins to acquire from them the desire and recognition that the upper one is great, it is important. And that's how he changes the value of the upper world against our own, so that he begins to work for greatness of the Creator. And then there begins the matter of the tenth, meaning that part of Malchut, which is man's self. He begins to hide it and work only with the upper nine, the attributes of bestowal, until he really goes over them practically in practice, which is called that he crosses the barrier. What Rav Baruch writes here is that he gives us the way how a person should prepare himself until he comes to the land of Israel. That the land of Israel is called straight to God, when he's already in a state, when he discovers that the Lord thy God is there from the beginning of the year until the end of the year, meaning constantly goes into
a sensation of the Creator. In fact,
and it all comes by the preparation that he prepared himself before when he began to work in concealment, when he didn't even know how and what desires are shown in him and why. So according to man's efforts, as much as he's willing to build himself, and as much as he builds himself, around himself, a system that will help him cope with the greater will to receive. According to that, he's shown the will to receive, and then when it is shown to the point where it is called the land of Israel, and then he goes into the land of Israel, crosses Egypt, the Exodus, the desert, the wars, and conquers the land of Israel. That is our way to the purpose. Any questions? We don't have to start working with our desires in order to discover that I'm cruel and egoistic and evil and bad. It can't work like that. After I make an effort in making advancement, I never know what I'm going to find in my desire. I never know. Because each time they open up a new layer in the will to receive, from the shallowest level to the deepest. Until they show me the will to receive, which sits immediately on that middle point of the Mahud of the Infinite, from root thickness to thickness of the fourth degree. And when they open another layer of the will to receive, and I begin to be impressed with what satisfies it, so I'm impressed by two things: from the will to receive itself, and from what fills it, what satisfies it. It turns out that I have that my sensation includes two impressions, from the light and from the vessel. As a result of that, I can feel that I'm very bad. That sensation comes from the collision between the attributes of the vessel and the attributes of the light. And another time I can feel completely good, you know, totally good about myself. When I'm under the influence of something good, which gives me confidence, tranquility, where does it come from? The upper light, which shines, uniformly. And the will to receive, when it opens by its own fourth phases. But each part that opens has a different nature. Chokhmah and Bina are completely opposite. Bina and Zanpin. Zanpin and Malchut are all different. And then I begin to feel different situations. At one time I feel the recognition of evil. Another time I feel good. Sometimes I feel that I have to do something. Another time, when I feel Malchut, I feel that I have no energy to do anything, to make even the slightest movement. So that's how it goes over man, and it's a sign of development. It doesn't matter what you feel. What matters is that these sensations will go as fast as possible, as fast as you move, because that will to receive is given in advance. The layers are given in advance. The structure is given in advance. I'm already a part of the general soul of the first man. The structure is fixed. The only thing I can do is make it faster, the development. And as much as I put myself into that
speed, then I go through it in a more pleasant way and faster. Because I change the torment, the pain, from corporeal to cognitive. And when I put my cognition into it, I don't suffer anymore. I'm happy. It is like a person who didn't know what he was suffering from, and now he learns what it is he's suffering from, and he realizes he has to operate himself. So although he has to have an operation, but he's very happy that he finally knows what the problem is, and he's happy about the operation as well, because he takes it as correction and not as pain. So when we make an effort by that, we go through things both faster, and also we make it, we feel them sweeter. Than otherwise. So that is the only thing we have to work for. To go from situation to situation as fast as possible. But what situations will come next, we can't determine. I never know the next thing that will come. Although I can imagine that this situation should come after that. But what is that? That's something, and how it'll be expressed in me, I never know. So you're saying, although a person goes through many situations, but the purpose is one. And progress should be in one mission, one thought. Although he goes through many situations, he should probably think only of one thing and just press on that point. And what should he press, right? Man should press to, should worry about revealing his connection with the Creator in any given situation. If he discovers that point of connection, it's a sign that he's used up that situation and is ready to go to move on to the next. There's no more than that in every situation. Barasalam writes about it, and he says, he defines it as Israel, the target, which Israel, which is man, the Creator, which is the target, and the action that he should do in order to get to the target, to the Creator. All those three should be as one. If you're connected with all three of them, then and that situation is attached to the end of correction, and you're worthy of perceiving the next situation. Then you immediately find it. But for that, you must constantly remember what the goal is, and it should be important to me. I should be prepared for it. For that, we have to organize an environment that will be supportive of me and will awaken me to that. Otherwise, that knowledge will not do anything. You keep going back to the same point, meaning you go through the same, in every situation you go through the tensefields of that situation. But those tensefields, you keep going back to the same point, meaning you go through the same, in every situation you go through the tensefields of that situation. But those tensefields are new. They're in a new desire. A new desire. It's not that you can't. I ate yesterday, I'll eat today, and I'll eat tomorrow. And it might even be the same food, but it's still a different desire. even in this world, when the Rashimot are not Rashimot, in the spiritual world, much less. Moreover, it's a new degree. If yesterday you were in a certain situation called, let's say, for example, Bina or Chochma or whatever, of any degree, let's say it was Chochma of something of something of something. Now I'm in a state of Chochma of this and that degree, a completely different degree. The combination of those conditions, those desires of the Rishimot, is very, very different. It is a completely different shade. They're so versatile in the way they connect the Rishimot of that specific situation in a different thing. See how many fundamentals, foundations you have in the food. Maybe 20 or 30. Did you ever see cookbooks? 1,000 recipes, I don't know. Why? Because the combination between them gives a different flavor. You have 10 principal spirit. When they divide and rejoin together, it creates an infinite number of situations. And each situation is different, gives you a different flavor. Together they will give you perfection. But each degree is shown by itself, and you live only by that. You say, yes, I know this, Rishimot. But when you feel it now, you feel it is completely new. You live by emotions. In each and every degree, you have to come to a situation where you discern where you are. You first go in there without recognition, and then, like a baby that develops, that grows, you go through all the stages of each degree. You go through the first degree of a degree. But you take it as it is. Let's say when you're at the age of 6, you know what the age of 6 means. You can't attain it compared to the whole of life. When you're an adult, you understand it differently. I don't understand you. You had your ups and your downs. So what will you get out of saying that you're going to fall soon? So what? We saw how you couldn't move. You were here like a carcass. At that point, words don't make a difference. We have to be impressed with each point in Malchut. Fill it up all the way. Experience the maximum amount of light. Then you'll have a prepared vessel. It's a whole world. I don't know how to put it. In the meantime, you're just beginning. I'm a technical person. See, when you work with weights, and you know that, you see that you get a new instrument. And you have to calibrate it. When you have to calibrate it, after that, you can measure things. You can compare things. Right now, you're being calibrated.
calibrated. You don't
feel the measurements yet. You feel a drop, or you feel a rise. But later on, you'll see differences in that. This is more, this is less. Various shades in it, until you have a whole scale. Then it is called that your weight is calibrated, and then you'll begin to work above the barrier. Right now, we're preparing the weight.
The end of correction is a corrected vessel
with receiving in order to bestow, at which time all its reception is because he, by that, gives,
bestows. As a result of that, it is an equivalence of form with the upper force.
And a result of that, it is in intention with the upper world. And a result of that, he understands what the upper force is, and his degree.
That is called the end of correction.
After that, this is only the end of correction. You finished correcting the vessel. After that begins the new life that we know nothing about.
When you come to the purpose of creation for you right now is to come to the end of correction.
Afterwards, you begin further. You move. You go on further
in degrees where you find the actual purpose.
In the meantime, we say that the purpose of creation is to bestow upon these creatures, and the correction of creation is called adhesion.
And so the Creator tells you, I spoiled you to begin in the beginning, initially.
Now you have to start correcting yourself.
Either I'll help you and correct you,
but so that you can see how I do it. By that you'll understand who you are, who I am.
By that you'll get the needed observations that I'm correcting you all the way to my situation, so that you'll feel exactly who I am.
So by that he rises us,
he brings us up to him,
and when we rise to him, we understand who he is all the way.
Now we become like partners,
equal partners, both understanding what is happening
in the same level, same degree.
After that, when we know him, nothing more, when we know him, then something happens further. Maybe it takes us another place,
shows us things that right now we don't understand. These are the secrets of Torah.
They're called the 8th and 9th and 10th millenniums.
They don't write anything about that because, besides the fact that it will only confuse us,
what we need is only what we need for our current situation.
Besides that, everything that
they say it cannot be expressed in words, in our words, because our words come from the second restriction.
And you might be able to say a little bit about the first restriction,
but to speak about a reality that is beyond the end of correction,
beyond the correction of the vessels, we don't have the
we can't express ourselves in any way here.
So we're only talking about a situation where we correct ourselves,
or that the Creator corrects us,
till we come to the end of correction.
But it must be that afterwards,
after that, there is a reality that it is, in fact,
the end of correction, but the end of correction must be there first. Is that it? How do I know that I'm not stuck? Midway, you can't know. You can't. I'll tell you, our way is full of surprises. The biggest surprise is that you never know where you are, how you are progressing, if you're progressing. It is done in a special way for us that will kind of let go about the results toward us, that did not matter to us, even when we don't receive anything. I'm willing to be in it. I should only have one knowledge in mind, that I'll remain in contact with the upper force. In our lack of knowledge, and things that we lack, it's not that they lack, they're things that we have to fill them up by a connection with the Creator. So a person, when he is in a framework of the study, how does he know if he's making progress or not? I'd say that we have to see our progress according to the hours, to the effort. In that we have degrees too. What does it mean? It means that when I come every day and turn up at the lesson and do something in circulation, and maybe with my friends, by that I constantly change my society to be constantly better and give me better influences, influence me better. So if I make an effort in it, I suddenly get back from it the bestowal, the influence, and by that I progress, I advance. But the advancement is an accumulative process. That there's an accumulation of effort, and then comes a change in our emotions. Our problem is that we have a very low threshold of emotion. We don't feel subtle things that we experience. And the more we progress, the more we feel subtle things. Even now, you're going through thousands of changes every second, but you don't feel them. Later on, you'll also begin to control those changes. You'll have a very long second. You'll suddenly, after which time will stop altogether, but now you'll be able to do a lot of things with your time. One second will be a beginning and an end. Lots of things to determine. When you begin to study Kabbalah, you also advance as before, without any recognition of spirituality, but you know that something must be happening. And besides knowing that something is happening, you begin to receive some inner shocks that maybe something is going on here. But then you're shown signs of changes, inner changes. Your complaints are just. You can ask why the Creator did it this way, in order to rock you and shake you, shake the will to receive off from you. What he wants to do is show you bit by bit how much you're opposite to him, how much you should let go of your own nature and accept the other nature. In the beginning, even though we agree with it, generally, we assume that he knows what he's doing. Although we always question it, but let's assume that it can't be any other way. But when we generally accept that plan, it doesn't mean that we can accept it in every step of the way. When I feel bad, certainly I can't justify it. The bad sensation in and of itself is called that I'm not justifying the Creator. Only the importance, working on the importance, can give me the result that even in my worst situations, I'll feel myself at best. Our feeling is depends on the recognition of importance. It is not a result of the pain that we feel. The matter, substance itself, is impressed with importance. Who does it? It's surprising to see when you discover it, how much there's nothing to it. There's no reality in it. That the Creator. Overall, what are we? What situation are we in right now? Why can't the light be shown right now? Because I'm opposite to it. If right now I'll discover an ounce of light more than now appears, I'll feel terrible pain. Because of the oppositeness of form, it'll come to me as darkness. When I correct it, how I relate to the light, I correct the importance, how I relate to the light. So I feel it as pleasure. Pleasure that can, that no pleasure can be greater than that. The light is the same. But the ego goes from darkness to pleasure, from torment to pleasure, only by changing the how the reception works. So instead of torment, you feel bliss, but it's the same light. So we can't be shown that in a faster rate. You determine the speed. If you're more prepared, you'll be shown that that much faster. You're too smart. You're more confused than before. Don't worry, it's a sign of progress too. You're saying, when I feel bad, begin to think of the Creator. So certainly I feel bad and I think of him, so I curse him. So at least you know that you're cursing him. Before that, you didn't know who you were cursing. So before, I didn't know that I was stealing. Now I know that I'm stealing. So that is a preparation for correction. Now when I hate him, and I know that I hate him, from that, I can begin to discern something. Why do I hate him? Oh, okay, because I feel bad about something. So I'm like a beast. So the sensation can give me the mark, good or bad. So that's my degree. Not that I'm living for a purpose that is a little bit above how I feel physically. Maybe there's a mental purpose here, or a human purpose, or maybe to be human spiritually. by that you begin to lift yourself.
The Creator is not afraid of you, Krishna, believe me. He agrees that you'll think of Him all the time and curse Him all the time. Just don't let go of Him. That's the only problem. The problem is that if you want to progress, is that you forget about Him. Don't forget about Him in the worst possible situations. Precisely there. Later on, you'll get the importance. You'll see that the minute you can be in contact with Him, you'll not be able to curse Him. There are situations like that too, but they're very good. You're saying that if I discover bad things about myself and my sensation is bad, so I can't be in a society as an active part. It's true. The best is if you're still in society. A chair doesn't bother the society, but man does. So you're right when you say that. But you're relating to your situations not in a purposeful manner. For the purpose, the worse you feel, the better it is. The worse you find yourself, the worse you are, the better. If you're indifferent, we'll not tolerate you. But when you shout and scream and jump, we can take it. When I see that I'm far off from the goal, I have a calculation. Is it important or not important? Even in this world, okay, good. I want to go and study for 5 years, or like a doctor who goes to study for 15 years until he begins working. So, 1 minute, if I fail after several years and say I lose the desire, so I'm out of it. I leave the university and that's it. I have to go on living. So in this world, what you worked, what you did for the labor, for the in university, you lose it. But in spirituality, it's not like that. Many people are like that. But in spirituality, they never leave. They remain with us as still. They can be away for 10 years, but they can't leave. They don't feel themselves that they left. They're still connected with us. So I'm not worried about those who leave. You won't guarantee that you'll not leave, that you'll advance as fast at the optimum speed. What is it you want? The problem is that you want to see so far ahead, and you'll never see that. You'll never see that. Only through the returning light. You can't agree with it, it's not going to help you. Later on, you'll understand why the conditions that we have are necessary conditions for us to attain the goal. It's not that the Creator did it just because He felt like it. They're necessary conditions because of our structure as opposite to Him. So that we'll go through such frustrations and confusions. Well, I'm sure you understand better than Him on how to do it. I'm telling you, you can't trample once. You can't be beaten up once. We learn it from the breaking. That things are divided into 6,000 degrees or whatever. You can't do it with less degrees. We can't accumulate the impressions of our own nature, how far it is from the Creator, how opposite it is to the Creator. What do we need? In all the things that we are like Him or are not like Him, we have to be impressed with it. And that impression should give us the recognition, the complete recognition. Otherwise, there will never be a vessel here. What do we learn? We learn that we take His nature. There's so many distinctions here, and they're all so deep, profound, and the connection between them is so complex that only by adding more and more, bit by bit, you build that vessel. Stop being like a child. You'll never swallow it whole. The problem with Israel, with the nations, they're not problems. The problems in this world all come from above. Our world is still, there's nothing new here. What comes from above comes and happens here in a definitive manner. That's it. We don't determine anything in this world. The Gentiles don't, and the nations don't determine anything. We're not to blame, they're not to blame. We shouldn't even regard this world at all. We can only change something in the spiritual world. We can't change anything here. Everything that happens here, as much as we think that we can do something, we're not doing anything. We can't do anything. All the things that happen here are a result of a change in the spiritual stature or relationship between the parts of creation. This whole drama is done above in the spiritual world, in a certain balance of powers. And here it just comes out. Afterwards, later on we'll understand why it is. It could have happened without it. So our world doesn't bother me, because nothing new happens here. For me it's all a copy here, just like you see in pictures. Say I draw here and the camera takes you 1,000 miles away. So if you look 1,000 miles away at that picture and you want to change that picture, change it here where it is drawn. Then it will change there. So this world is, for me, is not, there's nothing to change here. We see our lack of orientation, a lack of understanding where we are, how we can lead the world. All the greatest people, the leaders of the world, don't understand what, don't know what to do anymore. There's no reason to ask anything here in this world. We should raise our discussion to the spiritual level, where if anything can be done, it is here. And in spirituality, Kabbalah explains to us what is called, what Israel is, what the Gentiles are, what the balance should be, what it should change for. So, how it happens in this world, there are things that it is still. There only consequences or results. In Kabbalah we learn that Israel and the Gentiles are two parts of the same vessel called the first man, one soul, that for correction it is divided into two parts, Israel and the nations of the world. And both Israel and the nations of the world mix one with the other and are divided further. And then each part connected with all other parts comes to a correction. A correction that Israel must be corrected first, because it is Gagalta and Anayim. And through them, the corrections and the fillings go to the other part of the soul, which are called the Gentiles, the nations of the world. So Israel must correct themselves first. That is why Israel must correct itself. That's why it is a chosen people, chosen for correction. It must correct itself and then show the rest of the world how it should be done.
and the nations of the world, in the meantime, should do nothing. They're obligated to nothing. The seven commandments of Noah are, you know, and according to how Israel correct themselves, they find themselves in reasonable situation. But to the extent that they are late in correcting what they have to correct according to the general plan of correction, they get the situations that they did not correct above, they feel them as torment in this world, up to destruction and annihilation and whatnot. And if relate now too, then we'll witness as much problems as in the previous century. So we have to try as much as possible to correct ourselves quickly and feel that indeed we are responsible, especially us, that we're responsible both for our own situation and for the situation of the whole people and the whole world. You can't change anything. Only in spirituality. Only in the balance of powers of correct and incorrect powers within your soul. Nowhere else. Correct your part. By that you've done your share. After you correct our share, after we correct our shares, we'll move on to teaching the method of corrections to the nations of the world. And then everyone comes to the end of correction. And according to how much you do not convey that method to the Gentiles, from them you'll feel the smites, the blows that you feel, the anti-Semitism. It's not that they want to beat you up. It's those desires that you did not correct. That is how they work in you. The attributes that you did not correct come to you as Gentiles that want to beat you up. It turns out that all the pain that each person feels, and the hope and the pain of the whole world, are the same forces that we did not correct within our souls. That's why it says that Israel are to blame for all the killing and destruction in the world. Only Israel is to blame. Because those are the negative forces. Negative because we did not correct them in our own soul. They're in our own soul. Correct them, you'll see the world is good. So, I don't ask about the Gentiles. They're not a reason, they're a result. What's to ask about them? It's just like asking about some bee which comes and stings me. It's nature. It's got to do that. Its inner program has now made it sting me. You want to change it? Okay, go into the software, into the program, and change it from within. It's like telling animals, why does this animal eat that animal? You know, it's nature. You have to go above it in order to change things. We don't want to look at it in a more profound manner. Why? Because it obligates us. No one wants to look at what's happening around him in this country. If you look at, you know, on the television, what's happening, it's terrible. They're detaching the people from reality. The worse reality gets, the more stupid the programs become. It's called, you know, they want to give you high spirits. Why? They take you to the execution, and on the way they play cheerful music instead of showing you the truth. What can you do?